Well, this morning we're going to be looking at our Philippians text for several reasons, not least of which it's the one that I kept coming back to. Because we're a lectionary-based congregation, what I find is that I depend, and I think the Holy Spirit has certainly come through, I depend on the Holy Spirit to sort of lead me to which of these texts we can sort of focus on. I was at a workshop yesterday with some other Presbyterians, and we were talking about some of this very thing. And the chances of all four lectionary texts being exactly the same or exactly the same theme is pretty slim. And so we were just enjoying the fact that each of us tends to look at one, whether we're doing it in our own personal devotions or whether we're doing a more public thing like this. And I kept coming back to Paul's letter to the Philippians and to what he's talking about here. And what I found myself focusing on is the end of it more than anything else. And that's where the sermon title comes from, is Keep Going. And that comes from, because I think I've probably preached on this at least once before, and I'm probably just used Press On or something like that, and I wanted a different title. But that's what we sort of get to at the end of this, Paul telling us to press on. But why? Why do we keep going? Well, why do we keep going anytime? Well, it's because we're not where we want to be yet. And it doesn't mean that where we are is a bad thing. If you've been out for a run and you've run, say, 4 kilometers, that's not bad. But if you're running a 5-kilometer race, you should probably keep going. The fact that you've accomplished 4 kilometers in a good time or whatever it might be, you're at a place where the view is nice, there's nothing wrong with where you are, but it's not where you want to be yet. So you keep going. Paul is saying, among a number of things in this passage, that for all that he's done, it hasn't been enough. And it's easy for us to put the emphasis in the wrong part when we read Paul. And he talks first of all about his sort of his, not quite his genealogy, but sort of, this is who I am. This is where I've got to. This is the kind of person I was. I was born here. I did these other sorts of things. And then he goes on to talk about some of his actual actions and how hard he's worked. And then he says, but whatever was to my profit, now we're back to the New International Version, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. And what we sometimes lose sight of in there, or what we focus on, is the loss. And later on he talks about how he just considers some of these things trash. And what we will sometimes hear people talking about is how all of the things that Paul did before were entirely worthless, which is not what Paul is saying here. What Paul is saying is that he has gone through these things. He was born into the nation of Israel. He became a Pharisee. Through hard work, he became an outstanding Pharisee. He did some bad things as a Pharisee, to be sure, but all of those things brought him to where he was now. And Paul says, compared to what he now knows, those things are useless. He doesn't say they are useless in and of themselves. He doesn't say the fact that I was born in the nation of Israel is useless. He's just saying that those things were then. And those things got me to a particular place, which is how all of us are. All the things in our past have got us to where we are now. And it's not that what happened before was meaningless or even unimportant in and of itself. It's that compared to where you are now, you're not focusing on those things. Paul's not saying at this point, oh, and by the way, don't forget that I was a Pharisee and I knew everything there was to know about the Old Testament. He's saying, no, that was then. What I now know is of so much significance, is so important, is so wonderful, that those things pale in significance. So it's not that what happened before is unimportant or to be forgotten. It's that those achievements, for their time, were what they needed to be, but they're now behind us. If you ask somebody who is in their early years, say, I don't know, somewhere in elementary school, so 11, 12, 13, you know, what's the most significant thing in their life? Who knows what it'll be? Like, what was the greatest day? Or if you ask them any of those things, it could be anything. A birthday, a trip, a gift, a time, you know, it could be any of those things. Ask them again in 10 years and see if it's changed. Ask yourself. Think back to when you were in grade 8, if you can think back that far without, you know, too much work, and sort of look back and think, like, what were those things at a grade 8 you went, wow, I did that. my team won this, I won this achievement, I did well in school, or I did whatever it might be. And then imagine yourself at 18. And if you were answering the same question, would it be the same? Probably not. It would be more likely, I got my first car, I learned how to drive, I got my first job, all of these other things. So does that mean that what you thought was so important at grade 8 was worthless? No, it just means that compared to your first car, winning the minorest of minor league baseball tournaments is no longer as important. It doesn't mean it's worthless or dumb, it's just not as important. And so what Paul is talking about here, as much as anything, is saying all of those things in the past that were important to me then, some of which were not good, he specifically mentions those, and we're not talking about those as much as the rest, those things were then, and this is now. And then he says, but I keep going. Well, why? Because we keep going to get to where we want to be. It seems a truism. It seems one of those things that why would you even bother pointing it out? I mean, nobody stops halfway to the store when they need to go to the store. You go all the way to the store. We don't even think about it. But when we think about this passage, when we think of what Paul is talking about, we sometimes lose track of, or we focus on some of the wrong things in here. And I think it makes more sense for us to realize that Paul gives us that list of things to help us understand where he is now, and to help us understand how valuable he sees his relationship with Jesus, because he says it's so much more valuable than those other things, that those other things are basically trash. And then he says, not that I've already obtained all of this, all of these things that he's hoping for, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Well, what's he pressing on to? And by extension, what are all of us pressing on to? All of us have a context. All of us have a history that's filled with good and bad, and a whole lot of just sort of indifferent, just the task of getting through a day. It's gotten us to this place. Good things, for the most part, for most of us, have happened in the past to get us to here. Move on to what? One of the things that this passage was used to me, at least used on me, at least occasionally, was this idea that the only thing that Paul's talking about here when we're pressing on is that heavenward goal. Because that's how it ends. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. And what that was related to me as that the prize is heaven. And that all you're working towards is heaven. That this is all about doing enough so you get in. And I don't think anybody sat down to really confuse me that way, because that's not what it says. We're being called heavenward. We're being called to go toward a place. We are moving in that direction. And we continue moving all of our lives. And so does Paul. Because if Paul has Christ, if Paul has this relationship with Jesus Christ that is so significant that all that other stuff becomes his trash, what more does he need? Because it's not solely about this relationship. That's a critical part of it, but even more is growing in that relationship. Has Paul done enough, to put it in those terms that I first misunderstood this passage, has Paul done enough at this point to get into heaven if he died right then? Yes, he has. And so have all of us. Because it comes back to that image that I've used in lots of different places of a balloon. You blow air in a balloon, is the balloon full of air? Yes. You blow more air in, is it full of air? Yes. So you're telling me it wasn't full before? Well, no, it's not that kind of, it's not an either or here. At this point, Paul has inflated his balloon. It is full, just like ours is. But we can continue to grow. We can continue to become even more and more the people we were created to be. We can put more of those things that get in the way behind us. We can enhance more of those things that make us more the people we want to be, and more the people who can minister to those around us, whether it's the people in our homes and our families or a larger community. We can do all of those things, and all of those are moving us forward. All of those are us keeping going. Paul pressed on, not just so he would die and not go to hell. That's nowhere in Paul, and not here either. Paul pressed on because there was a call upon him to use his gifts, his talents, his experience, to use all that was Paul to bring about a better world. And we all have that same call. We're not called to be apostles. We're not called to write holy scripture. But we're called to be the best people we can be. And we're almost certainly better people now than we were a while ago. We know more about who we are and what we can do and where we can do it. And so we're going to keep going. Not out of fear that if we don't keep going, we won't make the cut. We've already made the cut. We're on the team, we're in, we have nothing to worry about. We keep going because being on the team isn't the only goal. To push the metaphor as far as we can. You get on the team so you can play the game, not just so you can say you're on the team. You're on the team to contribute, to play your part, whatever it is. You keep going because you're not where you want to be yet. You take everything that has gone into making us who we are today. The good, the bad, the indifferent and the trivial. And we use that as a foundation to keep going forward. And we keep going not because we're desperate to make sure we make it in. And we don't keep going because we're desperate to prove that the bad things we did behind us aren't the only thing that define us. We keep going because God has said, I love you and I have things for you to do that only you can do. That you are the only best friend of your best friend. You are the only parent-child of your child or parent. That's just, there are things that only you can do, and I want you to do them. And God's saying, let's do them together. Let's do more. Let's make the world even better. We keep going not out of this sense of fear, not out of this sense of guilt that we might not have done enough, but because this is who we are. That we are placed on this earth for a particular purpose, to make it more and more into what it was meant to be before sin entered the picture, before the fall. And the fact that we don't really get it, why God hasn't fixed all this already, doesn't change anything, because what we do know is that God has said over and over in Scripture that I'm going to use completely, totally ordinary people like me and like you to do what God wants in the world. And he's not done. And if he's not done, then we're not done. And if we're not done, then we're going to keep going. Amen.